Most high schools hold an annual prom, but what happened at Loveland High School in the Cincinnati area is a story worth telling. However, it all began long before the actual prom. You don't want to miss this heartwarming example of students at their very best. Stay with us.
Welcome to another Life Issues radio special to commemorate the sanctity of human life. We've titled this program, A Crowning Achievement, and you'll understand why after you hear this heartwarming story. Your host is the Executive Director of Life Issues Institute, Brad Mattis, and we join him now to introduce us to the people involved.
Joe and Susie Anderson are natives of Cincinnati, Ohio, and the parents of four children. Their third child, Drew, was born with Down syndrome. When Joe and Susie heard the news, they were worried about acceptance for Drew and the potential difficulties raising him. But all of their fears were put to rest by strong support from their family and the mainstreaming efforts of the Loveland school system.
I was worried about acceptance of family, and I was worried about, like, when he got older, people picking on him and doing things, and
fear,
how bad's it going to be, what's going to happen, and
your just initial emotions. You think of the things that they won't be able to do and their limitations, instead of looking at what they can do and what they will accomplish.
It took,
we didn't know.
Like I said,
we
it just took a night of just soul searching, and really, and the next day we were fine, and we presented him as our son, and that's, you know, part of the family, and that's what he's been.
How did you make the decision to send Drew to a public school?
Loveland has a preschool program that was new, and they took six, you know, half of the kids had some type of a disability and half were called typical kids, and they mixed them together because we knew we wanted to send him to try and mainstream him into the
Definitely.
School. So, and some of the kids that were in there, the typical kids, he's gone all through 3 years of preschool from kindergarten on up. So it just was a natural progression after that.
We feel like it really, really helped him too. It helped him. And
in what ways?
Being accepted and helping him with his speech and just learn how to act. I mean, children, they have to learn from their peers how to act. And if he'd have been isolated, then he would never learn those skills, social skills.
How does it make you feel to see him come so far?
I'm so proud. I'm just, you know, just so proud of him.
Aaron, what do you want people to know about your little brother?
Go on. Yes, please. He's the funniest kid you've ever been around, Swan. He's brought so much into our lives. I mean, he's just, every time anything he ever gets, he's so excited about it. The one thing he's taught me is just everything is, you know, actually a gift.
Don't take life for granted. I mean, you know, you gotta just go with the flow, and Drew is definitely one of those people that no matter what, he's gonna do it. If he sets his mind to it, he's gonna do it. And, you know, he definitely loves being around, and we love having him around.
Tony Alton Crow is one of Drew's friends and classmates. When Tony was born, not only did the doctors inform her parents, Mary Alton and Doran Crow, she had Down syndrome, Tony also had a hole in her heart and needed emergency care. She had to battle to survive. 6 months later, Tony had heart surgery to repair the hole, but her parents' worries were far from over. Like Drew's parents, Mary and Doran worried how their daughter would be accepted by others. They pursued early intervention as a means to help Tony learn to better interact with others.
With your circumstances of not being married when Tony was conceived, had you known about her condition before she was born, would have that influenced your decision about continuing the pregnancy?
That's a complicated question. I mean, it went through my mind for about a split second. And then I thought, nope, I'm gonna have this baby. Had I have known, you know, who knows? But, I mean, God has worked hugely in my life through that girl. Just,
I would not be who I am today if it wasn't for her in my life. She's changed my perspective on life and how I view life. She's happy every day when she wakes up. She's taught me patience. She's taught me how to love. And I think she's taught a lot of other people how to love.
It's like everything's modified when you have a handicapped child. You laugh a lot harder. You cry a lot more. You feel so much that comes along with this ride that we've been given as parents of Tony, or as, you know, a Down syndrome child.
How did you make the decision to send Tony to public school?
I felt like I wanted to give her more of a challenge. I just felt like she could handle it.
Undoubtedly, over the years then, you've seen Tony interacting with her classmates. What have you observed all this time?
It wasn't till recently, in the last few years, I realized that Tony was having an impact on these other kids. I thought, you know, oh, they're just being nice, but they're friends. They've grown up together. They've, you know, stayed friends, and they really enjoy being with each other.
When we return, we'll meet some of Drew and Tony's classmates, as well as a teacher who's been instrumental to their educational success.
You're listening to A Crowning Achievement, a Life Issues radio special, with your host, Brad Mattis.
Molly Swain is an intervention specialist at Loveland High School in Cincinnati, Ohio. After seeing how her students were positively interacting with their fellow classmates, she decided to start a mentoring internship program that served as an elective for seniors. Participating students would interact with Molly's class through lessons and community activities. She expected the program to have a great impact on her students, but what she didn't anticipate was the response she'd receive from the participating seniors.
Well, when I started here 11 years ago, my goal was to just make the kids that I teach feel part of the community and the school and do whatever we could do to make that happen. We just started doing activities with like the German class. We'll make German pancakes with them, and we do Crepe Day with the French class and creative writing. We just try to tap into teachers that really want to be part of the creative writing class. So each year more and more kids were interested in hanging out in our room. And then 3 years ago I got my master's, and I thought, they said, well, it would be cool to do a thing on reverse inclusion, bringing kids in our environment instead of having them go out. So last year I went to the principal and the counselors and thought, wouldn't it be cool if the kids could be in here for a class every day and see what happens? And it turned out to be a really good experience for the mentors, for the teachers, for the kids.
Molly, what's it like seeing kids interact on a personal level like this with children who are different from them in many ways?
I think it's just amazing. Like, if you put the kids in the right environment, they feel really comfortable. You can see how they feel when they walk in the room when our kids say hi. And I mean, we don't have to teach them after they're in here. It just comes naturally.
Allison, what do you enjoy most about the program?
I love that all the kids really get to, like, they get to go out in the community and, you know, work on their social skills, and they really get to make real friends, and everyone loves them.
AJ, did you see any of the students blossom or change as a result of the mentoring program?
Yeah, actually, I saw a lot of them. I remember we were going around each class earlier in the year and talking to them, and one of the teachers said that when Tony first got here, actually, she wouldn't even go into the class, and by this time now, she would go into the class, she'd hand out papers and talk to the students.
Now she controls the class.
Yeah.
So, yeah. How do you think most students feel about interacting with somebody who's quite different from them?
Our whole grade has always gotten to know Tony and Drew and, like, all of the kids in this class, and I feel like they've just been a part of us. Like, no one really notices a difference at Loveland. Like, everyone just is friends.
Yeah, and everyone knows. Like, the students at Loveland know everyone in our class, so they're always like, hey Kyle, hey David, hey Drew, hey Tony, and we're all, like, everyone loves them.
Does it brighten your day to see them in the hallway?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Just coming in here brightens your day.
Oh, yeah.
Throughout their years in high school, Drew Anderson and Tony Alton Crow have had an enormous impact on their teachers and classmates. They've both been awarded by their fellow students the title of Most Likely to Brighten Your Day. And on prom night, they received another accolade they'll remember forever. It all started with Drew announcing his wish to be prom king. Why did you guys try to get Drew and Tony elected as king and queen of prom?
Well, Drew actually told us that he wanted to be king. He would come and he said, I'm the king. And he just really, we're like, all right, let's make this happen. So, and actually, we didn't like tell people to vote for Tony at all. They just did. Like, people were like, they voted for Drew. And it was just an automatic, like, we need to vote for Tony. It's like, they both of them mean so much to the school that they deserve this.
I was actually at the school selling tickets for the prom. They were doing the afternoon announcements, and they said, and here is the announcement, you know, the candidates for the prom court. And they, I think they said all the girls, and I heard Tony's name, and then they said the boys, and it was Drew Anderson, and I was just like, oh my God, you know, just that he was nominated.
So it's the night of the prom. Nobody knew who was going to get king or queen. What was that like when they announced the names of Drew and Tony?
Well, we were all like, really excited because we all pretty much like thought it was going to be them, and then once they called their name, everyone just went ballistic.
It was crazy.
Just, like, it was screaming, nuts. Jumping up and down, and then it was cool to see their reaction because they were just so happy, and it just like made everyone else feel really good too.
They were so happy. There was a really great picture of Drew and Tony, and Tony has like her flowers. She's like, yeah, and Drew's just like, they were having a great time, and like, no one else would have reacted like that. So like, it really meant something to them. Like, that's...
I almost started crying, actually, once I saw them up there. Just how excited they were.
Yeah. It was awesome. You honestly could not have asked for a better, like, ceremony, I guess you could say. You honestly could not have. It was amazing. Like, that is something I don't think any of us will ever forget.
And when it actually happened, you know, you see, I looked at Mary and she was crying, and I was, you know, all the coolness was gone out of me. I was bawling. And I looked at Susie and she was crying. And then I started looking at the students and the teachers and even the principal. And to see the tears of joy in their eyes was, I mean, it stopped your breath for a second.
When she was born, I thought we were going to be facing some, you know, that she was going to be facing a lot of tough, difficult times, rejection and not accepted, and never in my wildest dreams would I have thought she would have been prom queen. Exact opposite of what I thought.
Every little girl probably at one time or other thinks about being a prom queen, or the boys about being a prom king, and to see that it can happen for anybody in a school where we're taught to be kind to one another and we're taught to include everyone and to recognize people for what they bring.
What did that tell you about your students?
Well, it told me that they have big hearts, which I knew, and it also told me that we have been able to include children with disabilities very well here at the school through the Partners Club and just seeing the students at lunchtime. Our students engage very well with one another, so it was just a validation of that.
You went to prom this year.
Yeah.
Was it fun?
Yeah.
Yeah, fun. And you had a special surprise for prom, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
Tell me what that surprise was.
I get king.
Yeah. So all of your classmates voted you king of prom, right?
Yeah.
That was a lot of fun, I suppose. Yeah. And who was your queen?
Tony.
Tony, yeah. So did you go to the prom together, you and Tony?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
So what was your favorite part of the prom?
I want to king.
Yeah? Now, I hear you wore your crown to school the next day?
I did, yes.
Yeah. So everybody got to see it.
Yeah.
Teachers?
That's the friends.
You were queen of your prom.
I know I'm on my prom.
Yes. Was that fun?
Yeah, we had fun.
Did they give you flowers too?
Yeah, and my flower and my gear on your skirt.
Mm-hmm.
With Drew.
Drew gave you a flower that you pinned on your dress.
I think.
Oh, yeah.
And my blue toes and
blue dress.
So your toenails were blue for the prom also, huh?
Yeah.
So everything matched.
Yeah, it's already the match.
Did you dance with Drew and all your other classmates?
Not like this.
You didn't dance the chicken dance at the prom.
No, you do not.
That was at a graduation party, but you did dance with Drew at the prom, remember?
Yes, you did.
Slow dance.
That's crazy.
I'd like to see you and your dad do the chicken dance sometime.
Oh, yeah, no.
I can't.
You'll always remember being queen?
Yep, I ever the queen.
Coming up, we'll hear kind words of thanks from Drew and Tony's classmates.
You're listening to A Crowning Achievement, a Life Issues radio special, with your host, Brad Mattis.
Drew and Tony have made a lasting impression on all who've known them at Loveland High School. Some of the students from the mentoring internship have even decided to pursue special education as a result of participating in Molly's pioneering effort. The program for next year already has a waiting list of students eager to take part. Molly and her staff know changing the hearts of the younger generation is the place to start in making sure every life is considered valuable and special.
Well, it's been two short years. You have a waiting list for mentors now. Did this grow beyond your expectations?
Well, I thought it would be a good thing, but I didn't expect like all the things that are happening out of the mentoring class. Last week we did a little lesson for a class of freshman kids who they really weren't that comfortable with kids with disabilities, and the teacher said, well, can we teach them? And I'm like, sure, bring them up. And we showed a video, and by the end of that lesson they wrote us letters and they were amazing. They were like, we didn't know that, and or you know, we'll feel more comfortable now about kids with disabilities. And I think if you teach them what it's all about, it takes away that fear of the unknown. It was really cool because our mentors talked to them too, and some of them got real teary-eyed and said, they're our friends, these kids are our friends.
Now, there are still some in society who would say that Tony, by her condition, shouldn't even be here. How do you respond to that?
When I hear today that they're, you know, statistically we could go over that, but there's people that elect that they shouldn't be here, and the choices are made that they shouldn't be here.
What are the statistics?
I did a paper in school last year, a thesis on amniocentesis. When a woman is presented with the information, and again, it's just information, not true fact, that you have a X percentage of having a multi-handicapped or Down syndrome child, that 93% of women in the United States today elect to abort. That's real scary. When you see the joy that our kids bring to other people, just their presence can change lives. It did in Loveland.
Everybody deserves a chance, and in having Drew, I think it was one in 800 and something chances that I would have a child with Down syndrome. Well, once you have a child with Down syndrome, your odds automatically go to 1 in 100. So when we decided that we wanted to have another child, you know, we knew what we were looking at, and we were willing to take that chance again. You know, obviously you hope because they do have challenges and it is harder for them in the world, but we were prepared either way, and we were.
It's been a blessing for sure. He's really, the whole family and everybody is just glad that he's around. He's just been amazing, so.
Can you imagine life without Drew?
No, no way.
I'd like to give you all an opportunity to say something to Tony and Drew.
Why?
I just wanted to say that it's been a blessing to like be able to like talk to you guys and hang out with you guys and really get to know you, because you've definitely had an impact on my life, and I hope you guys do remember me, because you guys have definitely changed my life, so thank you.
I just want to say I love you both, and you both changed my life too.
I love you too, and you guys have changed my life a lot.
What? I haven't changed my...
And I'm very blessed to have both of you in my life.
Yeah.
Yep. I just want to say that I love Tony and Drew so much. I love you guys. You've made such an impact on my life since I met you freshman year, probably before that. And I hope you guys remember me as much as I'm going to remember you.
And I love you. And I love you too, Drew. I hope we're friends. Well, we'll keep in touch.
Yeah, we'll work.
Yeah.
Yeah. I am the queen.
Yeah? Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm the king. Yeah. Long live the king.
Quite a story you've just heard on this Life Issues radio special, a crowning achievement. I'm Bill Wright, back here with our host Brad Mattis of Life Issues Institute. Brad, we've all heard how this wonderful story unfolded. What were your expectations going in?
Well, you know, Bill, frankly, I thought that there was a possibility that these kids could be well-intended, but actually holding a pity event for the kids, you know, with Down syndrome. But after seeing the love on the faces of these students, and seeing that warm interaction with Drew and Tony, you know, there was no question in my mind at that point, you know, this was the real deal.
Well, the plan to crown Drew and Tony was really designed to encourage them, but the blessing extended far beyond what the planners could have imagined, no?
Molly, the special needs teacher who brought all this together basically as an experiment, thought it would benefit the students with Down syndrome. But to her surprise, and I guess it shouldn't be a surprise, the, quote, normal students benefited far more than the students with Down syndrome. They learned that these individuals had many blessings. They were a joy to be around, and they planned to keep in touch with these kids. They're making plans for what they were going to do over the summer at the time we were talking to them, and there we saw a bond develop, a friendship that I think will last a lifetime.
Well, this is the time of year we think and pray about the sanctity of life because of the Roe v. Wade decision that was handed down by the Supreme Court on January 22, 1973. How do individuals with Down syndrome relate to life issues?
Well, the tragic fact, Bill, is that studies show more than 90% of unborn babies diagnosed with Down syndrome are aborted in the womb. Many doctors and other medical professionals assume the parent will abort after such a diagnosis. Now, this intimidation or pressure, intended or not, often results in the death of the baby. Many parents tell us that the doctor only presents the negative aspects of dealing with Down syndrome, and they don't tell them about the overwhelming benefits and blessings of raising a child like this. And this tragedy is something we must reverse.
I understand there's medical testing available to parents to find out if their unborn child has Down syndrome. Is this a good thing or a bad thing?
Well, Bill, they have amniocentesis and chorionic villus sampling, and these are done later in pregnancy. And they're putting the finishing touches on a very sensitive blood test that they can use early in pregnancy. But, you know, regardless, there's no intrauterine treatment for preborn children with Down syndrome. Mostly, it's used as a tool for search and destroy, to kill the babies before they can be born. Clearly, the research indicates this. Plus, there's many false positive tests, and as a result, parents have said they've aborted many babies that they consider to be, you know, quote, normal children.
What about the national organizations dedicated to supporting and protecting individuals with Down syndrome? Are they speaking out against the abortion of babies just because they're disabled?
Tragically, no. The National Down Syndrome Society and the National Down Syndrome Congress claim that they take a neutral stance on abortion. But a neutral stance isn't a neutral policy. This implies that the killing of these innocent, beautiful babies can be in the best interests of society, and therefore they can be justified.
Now, in your experience, Brad, parents of children with Down syndrome have no regrets about the responsibility of care that God has asked them to carry, right?
Oh, yes. When you talk to people who are the parents of children with Down syndrome, polling indicates that a vast majority, practically all of them, are so thrilled with the blessing they have in their children, and they wouldn't trade them for any child if given the opportunity. They say, they're quick to say that there are challenges, and it's not an easy road to go down, but they said they wouldn't change it for anything because the benefits and the blessings far outweigh the difficulties.
Well, thanks for undertaking today's program, Brad. We've really been blessed by hearing it. And friend, if you'd like to put faces to the voices you've heard today, we're pleased to offer you the DVD of the TV program Facing Life Head On on which today's special has been based. It's yours at no cost through our Life Issues website, lifeissues.org. There you'll also find a comprehensive list of resources for parents or parents-to-be of a child with Down syndrome. Just log on to lifeissues.org and request your free DVD today. Well, Brad, your closing thoughts?
As our nation pauses to remember the millions of preborn children sacrificed to abortion, remember those who've been singled out simply because of their disability. This mass extermination of unborn babies diagnosed with Down syndrome is a tragic echo of the atrocities in Auschwitz and elsewhere during World War II. Help us spread the word that children born with Down syndrome are an incredible blessing to not only their families, but also to the people around them. Without a doubt, Drew and Tony are dearly loved not only by their families, but by all those they touch. This is Brad Mattis. Thanks for listening.